I'm going to begin today in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. And the question that we are asking this morning from the scripture is, are we growing up? Are we maturing spiritually? Is anything happening in our lives that causes us to grow and to mature and to become complete in Him? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 tells us that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And so we're told here clearly in Paul's letter to the Ephesians that it is the intention of our Heavenly Father that we grow up. It's His purpose in us that we mature, that we grow up into Christ in all things, that we be no more children, that we don't think like children, we don't behave like children, we don't act like children, but that we grow up and take our place as sons and daughters of the Most High God in spiritual maturity or spiritual adulthood. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse, Paul informs us that those whom God did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He, the Son, Jesus, might be not only one, but just the firstborn of many brethren. So we see clearly that it is the will of God, the desire of God, the purpose of God in us, that we grow up to become like Jesus. He wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So many Christians have this mentality that if you're witnessing and if you're doing witnessing, then you have come to spiritual maturity and you are doing what God has called you to do. But the Bible doesn't talk nearly as much about our doing witnessing as our being witnesses. And the way we become witnesses is not necessarily by doing witnessing. We can do witnessing but yet be terrible witnesses. What the will of God is that we become witnesses, and when we become witnesses that are true to form, that we will then do effectual witnessing. When I say true to form, what I mean by that is when you go to this is gardening time, planting gardens and so on, when you go to the feed store or to the hardware store or wherever you buy your seeds, you want the seed inside the package to be true to form to the picture that's on the front, so that when you plant that seed that you have a reasonable expectation that the produce that seed will give you will resemble the picture that you see on the front. If you turn the seed packet over and look at it on the back, it will tell you how true to form the seed is. This is 99.7% pure, or 92% pure, or whatever it is. Unfortunately, you can't do that with Christians. Unfortunately, we don't package up our Christianity in that way. But in the same sense, God is at work in us to make sure that what is inside us, when it brings forth its fruit, or when it brings forth its produce, when it engages in bearing witness to the one who bought us and saved us, that it will be true to form. That what people see in us will be Jesus, His nature and His character. If you turn with me to the book of Matthew, we're going to find out that it is the fruit of our life that reveals what is in us. In the same way as Jesus taught in Matthew 12:33, we're going to 13, by the way. But in the 12th chapter, the 33rd verse, Jesus tells us that a tree is known by his fruit. And so if you and I want to answer the question today, am I growing up spiritually? Am I maturing spiritually? Am I becoming complete in Him? The way we will determine that is by inspecting the fruit. In the same way that when you want to know what kind of a tree you're looking at, you look at its produce, you look at its fruit. If it's not a fruit tree, you look at its leaves and its bark and so on, and you can identify that tree. In a Christian, we check the fruit. Matthew 13, beginning to read in 24. Jesus is teaching by means of parable here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, oh, bless God, don't you just love the Lord? Don't you just love the Lord? Lord, we do love you. We declare our love for you as supreme. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now there's some significant things taught here. But one of the most important, I believe, is this, at least in terms of our discussion today. Notice that it wasn't until the harvest, until the fruit appeared, that you were able to determine the difference between the genuine, that which is true to form, and that which was not true to form. This farmer planted wheat. His enemy came and sowed weeds in the field. And as the weeds and the wheat were growing together, they looked very much alike. And that's the way it is with Christians. That an immature Christian and a mature Christian can look very much alike until the fruit begins to bear. And when the wheat comes into head and the tares come into head, when the grown-up Christian comes to head, and when the immature, childish Christian comes to head, then you know what you've got. And Jesus said in this particular parable, he said the farmer told his workers, don't try to pull up the tares while they are yet not coming to harvest, not coming to fruit, because you can't tell them apart. But when the fruit appears, then you can tell. A tree is known by its fruit. If we want to know if we are growing, if we want to know, and let me say it this way. If you want to know whether you are growing, because it's not as important for us to determine whether someone else is growing as it is to determine whether we are growing. The purpose of the message today is not so much that we can judge one another's spiritual maturity, but that we can judge our own spiritual maturity. And what Jesus is teaching from this passage, among other things, is that you can't really tell until you see the fruit. Now, what kind of fruit should we be looking for? And what should we be looking for in our own lives? Turn to the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians. You knew I was going here. Galatians chapter 5. There's a quiet spirit in the church today. Feel that? Sense that? Galatians chapter 5. And I'm not going to read the fruit of the tare or the fruit of the flesh, but I want to zero in on the fruit of the Spirit today. Verse number 22 of Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that the Spirit of God produces or is attempting to produce in the life of the born-again Christian, is the nature and the character of Jesus. And what is the nature and character of Jesus? It is manifested in these fruits: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience, gentleness or kindness, goodness, an inherent capacity and desire to do good to others, faith or faithfulness, fidelity, faithful, meekness or humility, and temperance, which is self-control. Now, what the Spirit of God is trying to build in us and trying to grow in us is a combination of these various fruits. When we manifest them, as Jesus did, we are maturing. When we don't manifest them, as He did, we are not maturing. We're still kids. Now, the interesting thing about people and the production of fruit is that, you know, there are certain kinds of plants that bear their flowers and their fruit in a way that you can't see it very well. They have either large leaves or the fruit is small, and they bear it in such a way that if you want to see the fruit, if you want to see the blooms, if that's what the fruit is, or if you want to see the actual physical fruit, you have to actually go inspect for it. You have to go lift the leaf or turn the branch over. With Christians, the way you check the fruit is by putting them under pressure. Fruit is not generally revealed until there's pressure. In other words, it's very easy to be loving to someone who's not giving you any trouble. I mean, you can walk in love with anybody who is not throwing some kind of obstacle in your path. It's when somebody mistreats you, it's when somebody abuses you, it's when somebody talks about you or tells lies about you or slanders you or hurts you in some way or attacks your child or attacks your wife or your husband or whatever it is, attacks your pastor, attacks your church, comes against you then. Now, if you can walk in love in that situation, then you can look at yourself and inspect the fruit of love and say, bless God, I like what I see there. On the other hand, if you react in such a way that is, you want to get back at them, you want to tear them apart, you want to hurt them like they hurt you, then that's the way children are. The image of Jesus and the example of Jesus was while on the cross, He said about those who put Him there, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. An act of love. Now, the same thing is true with joy, all the other fruits, example. Joy, by the way, you know, in fact, it might even help us to just do a study on the fruit of the Spirit. Just take each fruit and check it out. But the fruit of joy is not the fruit of happiness. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. Everything's going great and that makes me happy. Everybody's treating me well and all things are going the way I want them to go, therefore I am happy. That's not what joy is. Joy is a state of being based upon our position in Christ and our understanding that all things are working together for good, regardless of how they may feel, make us feel emotionally at the moment. And joy is something that you can experience in the midst of unhappiness. And so let's take Jesus' example again. He's on the cross. But the Scripture tells us that for the joy that was set before Him, He paid no attention to the cross. He ignored it. And the mocking that was going on around Him. And can you imagine a man hanging on the cross, dying the way he died, experiencing joy? Now the example for us is that no matter what may be going on in our life, how negative it is, how disappointing it is, how frustrating it is, do we have joy or do we go in the toilet? If we have joy, it's a sign of maturity. We're growing up. If we can't have joy in the midst of that kind of situation, it means we're still children. Guilty. Guilty, guilty. Peace. And you can run them all down. You see where we're going with this? You can run them all down. What kind of fruit do we exhibit when we either encounter obstacles or resistance or tribulation or affliction? That determines whether we are growing up. Now I have to say to you as a personal, just in, as a personal testimony today, that there are some areas of my life that I look at this and I think about this as I was putting this message together, and I'm inspecting my own fruit. And I'm saying, yes, I can think of some situations where I was pleased with the way I responded. While it may not have been perfectly in line with the way Jesus would have responded, it was very different from how I would have responded 25 years ago or 20 years ago. And I would say with Paul that I have not fully apprehended, but yet I forget those things that are behind and I press forward to that which is ahead. The prize of the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. But I have to say to you, there are some other areas here I look at and I say, that's an area where I acted like a child. And I'm not very pleased with my spiritual maturity in that area. Now, I think it's reasonable for us to take inventory and to acknowledge where we are making headway, because we are supposed to grow up in Him. And then take note of those areas where we need to be on guard the next time we're tried. So the fruit that we're looking for is not... Oftentimes people make a terrible mistake. And they want to gauge spiritual maturity on the basis of external things. Like, well, that's a really mature Christian. She or he is really mature. Look at how they operate in the gifts. But that has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. You can operate very freely in the gifts and be on the inside a child with regard to what we're describing now. Not grown up at all. Because the fact of the matter is they are gifts. They're given. And they can be given to a child as well as to a mature believer. The other thing that people often look at when they talk about spiritual maturity or consider that is they'll look at whether a person has been effective in doing their witnessing and whether they've led a lot of people to Christ. And while that is something that we ought to be engaged in, that is not the mark of spiritual maturity. I believe, this is my personal belief, I believe you can lead a lot of people to Christ simply by giving them the gospel. But you can be personally a terrible witness in terms of your personal life, your personal, you know, just the way you react, the fruit of the Spirit operating in you. On the other hand, I believe that if the fruit of the Spirit is growing in you, you will touch people's lives automatically, just as a byproduct of the way you live. The fruit of the Spirit will be seen and will affect people. Now, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to show you something that I'm not surprised at this, but I'm not sure that I ever saw this quite before. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm not sure that I really thought about it in this sense. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. How are we going to grow up spiritually? How are we going to move from where we are today to where we want to be tomorrow and next year and the year after that? How do we get to where we want to go? And where we want to go is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We want to love like Him. We want to have joy like Him. We want to have peace like Him. We want to be good like Him. We want to be faithful like Him. We want to be in control of ourself. How do we do that? Verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere or the undiluted work, milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. It's the Word of God that He has ordained to feed us so that we will grow. And then again, and this verse is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Actually, it's a couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. What is it that bringeth forth fruit? It is the word of the truth of the gospel. And so that's God's system for growing us up, is feeding us the Word of God. Now sometimes, I don't know, I think today may be one of those days when you're sitting in the congregation, you're listening, but some of you aren't really tuned in all that, you know, you're listening, but you're kind of half listening, or you're listening, but you're not really hearing some of you. At least that's my impression as I look at your faces. And I know I'm not supposed to make any judgments on that on the basis of the expression on people's faces. I've gotten in a lot of trouble doing that in the past. And so if I'm misstating this, you forgive me. But I'm saying this may be one of those days when the message is not particularly entertaining, it's not particularly informative, it's not particularly challenging, it's not particularly new, it's not particularly anything that would say, boy, wasn't that good? That church was really good today. And this may not be one of those days that we walk out talking like that. But the fact is that what we are hearing is the Word of God. And what God is doing with this Word, whether you realize it or I realize it or not, what He is doing with this Word is he is growing us up. There are times when we sit down around our kitchen table or our dining room table and we eat a meal and we, oh, this is fabulous. But most of the time it's not like that. We sit down and we just do it, you know, we put it down and it satisfies the grinding that we had in our belly, and we get up and we leave, but we don't, you know, we don't call up mom and say, oh man, did she cook she really knocked herself out today. We just do it because we know that it's important to us. And what that food does is sustains us and nourishes us. Well, that's exactly what's happening today, and that's exactly what happens in every opportunity that we have to read the Word of God for ourselves and to have it declared to us, taught to us, preached to us, ministered to us, whatever you may, however you may refer to that, such as what we are doing here this morning. And whether we realize it or not, God is taking this word. Sometimes there are times when the children and the young people are very much engaged in what we are doing in the service. There are other times when they don't seem to be very much engaged at all. But that does not mean that their time in the service is non-productive. It doesn't mean that it's a useless thing. Because there's power in the Word of God. He has put that power in there to produce the fruit of the Spirit in us, whether we realize that it's happening or not. It is happening. And we ought to be able to look back on our lives and say at sometime in the future, we ought to be able to look back on our lives and say, well, I'm not everything that I want to be, and I'm not everything that hopefully I'm going to be, but praise God, I'm not everything I was. I'm not everything I used to be. I don't react today in the same way that I would have reacted 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Hallelujah! I am growing up spiritually. And no, I'm not satisfied with it totally, and I know I'm going to move forward so that one day I'm going to be complete in Him. And I may not be complete in Him as a practical reality, even though I'm complete in Him as a legal reality based on what He did for me in the new birth. Practically, I am not complete in Him because of the way I act and the things that I do. And I'm not a perfect witness. And on the back of my seed package, it says 82% pure or 95% pure or whatever the percentage is. It's not 100% yet, but I'm moving forward. And the way I'm going to move forward is not I'm going to sit here and say, oh God, change me. Oh God, make me different. Oh God, I hate the way I react. Oh God, I don't want to be such a baby. I want to grow up finally. That gets us nowhere. We apply ourselves to the instrument that He has ordained to accomplish that purpose in us. And that purpose is the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. And then when we hear it, and we'll close this morning with this, Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. In fact, while you're turning there, I'm going to read you a verse out of James, which says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In order to make the word of God most effective in our lives when we hear something, God impresses it upon our heart. We hear something from the Word. We make a decision to do whatever it is that He said we need to do. If we read something or hear something on the subject of forgiveness, and we make a decision, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let go of this thing I've been holding on to. We hear about honoring our parents. I'm going to honor them. I don't feel like it, but I will. We hear about husbands love your wives. Wives reverence your husbands. I don't feel like it, but I will. When we become doers of the word, we get the most out of it so that it truly does become a part of us and we can accelerate this process of spiritual maturity. Why is it that if in Christ, he's no respecter of persons, and so if you're born again, and the two people are born again, they both have equal position, as it were, in the eyes of God. They're both holy. They're both righteous. They are both sanctified by the offering of Jesus once for all. They are both unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. But when we get around them, we know this person is so childish and acts so much like the world. Paul wrote the Corinthians and he said, I would like to write you as unto spiritual, but I can't because you're still babes. And how do I know you're still babes? Because you act like ordinary men. You're fighting all the time. You're striving. There's contention among you all the time. Why is it that you take two Christians who have exactly the same relationship with God? You got one Christian who is, you just don't want to spend any time with them at all because they're so childlike. They're the troublemakers and so on. And you got one over here that is just so precious, and there's love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness, and you can depend on them and so on. What's the difference between the two? One person has heard the word, decided I'm not going to do it. This person has heard the word, decided I'm going to do it. This person is growing. This person is becoming like Jesus. This person is becoming, fulfilling his destiny as a witness unto the Lord. This person over here will die and go to heaven, probably not take anybody with him. Leave no posterity behind. What we do with God's investment in us is significant. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house too, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And so it is important not just to hear the word, but to hear it and do it. So I guess what I hear the Lord saying today is, let's ask ourselves the question. I've been doing it. And as I said to you, some of the answers I get I like, but some of the answers I get I don't like. You say, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about the part that you don't like? Well, I'm not going to let it bog me down to the point where I'm going to get so discouraged I'm going to give up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to continue to apply myself to the Word. I'm going to continue to read it for myself. I'm going to continue to listen to it declared by others. I'm going to continue to preach. I get so much, I probably get more out of what I teach and preach than you ever do. I guess that's not unusual, but I'm going to continue to preach it. I'm going to continue to teach it. I'm going to continue to do it as best I can, and I'm going to believe God that when it's all over, that he's going to look at my fruit and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want him to say that about you too. I want us to be maturing believers and not consigned to childishness like so many are. You know people like that, don't you? Don't we all know people like that that are good and born again? We know they're good and born again, but they're so unlike Jesus that it's sad. Okay, that's all I have. I've had my say. Do you want to have a say today? Anybody want to have a say? Stand up and have your say. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, for Christ is Lord indeed. Let's sing the third verse. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. And then the last. stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
That's me. I'm going to be with the King of glory. Hallelujah.
And reign eternally. Look how old that song is. 1858, 1837. Do you suppose there'll be some good old time saints up there when we get there? Oh boy. Oh bless God. Amen. We're all growing spiritually. Amen. Not like children, tossed to and fro. Glory to God. Father, send us out of this place, continuing on that upward path to where we are practically as well as legally complete in Jesus, giving off His love, giving off His peace, giving off His joy, and all the rest in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.